Welcome to Homegirl Nation. I'm your host, Bridget Truong. This is our season 3 finale, and before we get into it, I'd just like to say a heartfelt thank you to all the homies out there. You have been nothing short of fan-freaking-tastic as supportive and enthusiastic listeners in this safe space and community that we continue to foster together. 15 episodes, 17 guests, countless of laughs and feels in season 3. I hope you've been able to find connection, solace, and truth that resonates with you. I need to take a few months off to dive into a little rebrand of the show. Some new graphics for season 4, fancy, a YouTube channel, and a live studio space. I'm so excited for this. So don't forget about us. With growth comes new investments of time and resources. I just want to make sure that you get the most out of our hangout. So I hope you stick around because spring 2024 will see a new and awesome chapter with you. Okay, for now, let's end this season with some laughs. Comedians Mae Martin and Sabrina Jalice have been friends for 2 decades and they've respectively been crushing it in the US, UK, globally really, in their TV streaming and stand-up projects. They are finally teaming up for a new best friend podcast called Benefits with Friends, where they chat about everything from love, sex, money, gender, shame, friendship, and a whole lot more. I've had a chance to check out the first couple of episodes and hilarious, smart, and just fun. You feel like you're hanging out with them, and I think that is the point. Now, when I started this podcast in the pandemic, my goal for this podcast was to dive into various topics related to womanhood in an effort to encourage greater connection and love between us all. This show, and in large part thanks to you and our incredible guests, has evolved into so much more, with guests that have far exceeded my expectations, like Mae and Sabrina. It's a real pinch me moment. So thank you for being a part of this ride, this safe and fun space where the objective has become to better understand ourselves and the people around us. And thank you to our incomparable roster of guests for walking through our door with nothing but openness and honesty. Oh, I can't wait to keep this going with all of you. Okay, so without further ado, let's meet Mae and Sabrina.
Where are you?
I am in Zibalite, Mexico, and it's nudist fest.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So I put on a shirt for you.
Oh my God.
And it's not for the best. No, I'm kidding. It's for the best. Have you heard of this festival before? Or?
No, but I'm Googling
I haven't,
it.
But we should fly out and do the interview there.
It would be a lot of fun. But I mean, just being with you will be a lot of fun, I'm sure. First of all, hi, I'm Bridget. Nice to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi. I'm a massive fan of both of yours. And I just want to say, I think many of us have been waiting for this content coupling of sorts. This just seems like something that was supposed to happen a long time ago, but maybe, I don't know, schedules got busy. But who decided to take this friendship to the podcast scene?
I think, well, we met with a producer, Zoe, who we've both known for a long time, and she pitched it. And at first, I guess we thought of the idea. To me, I thought making a podcast would mean that I would have to set up the microphone and Mae would have to make sure it was plugged in. And Zoe was like, no, other people will do that. And so then the rest was history. It was like, oh, getting to spend a week in a studio with my best friend talking about all of the topics that I love sort of getting deep into. What a dream.
Yeah, we had been meeting up with this producer, a friend of ours, for a while and talking about what to, you know, work on together and projects and stuff. But the meetings would always devolve into these kind of conversations about our friendship and stories and like competitiveness. And so eventually it was like, well, I think that's what you want to do is just sit and talk about your friendship. So let's find a way to make that happen. Then we feel like we've cracked the matrix a little bit because it's like the dream way to spend your time.
Yeah, it makes sense. I checked out a couple of the first episodes. They're fun. It there's a flow. Obviously, there's a rapport there that you can hear. But having been friends for over 20 years now, I mean, you guys obviously know each other really well. And it feels like the public knows you too, or they assume that they know you. And you bring this up in the first episode and you also tease it. But a lot of people wonder whether you or not the both of you have slept together in the past. Is it weird? is it weird to have strangers actually care about your humps and your bumps?
Bridget, I think it's weird if they don't care.
Yeah.
I kind of want to assume there's a tad of like sexual tension with most grown-ups that I meet. I go to the, the barista. I'm just like, isn't that sort of a little bit like the fun of life of like, is everybody attracted to me or not?
I think we also like the way we talk about that in the podcast is to be like, guys, everyone's been wondering this forever. So I think maybe we're just doing a Jedi mind trick and people are like, oh yeah, I guess I am wondering that, but maybe no one was caring about that before. But
I bet they are. I think that most people, I think it is like kind of a basicness of our mind that like, especially with queer people, if it's two gay guys or two queer, it's just like, oh, they look like those are the people that could match up to have sex. So I wonder if they have.
Yeah, I'm also, I so publicly all the time talk about sleeping with my friends and being attracted to all my friends. So I do. So I think maybe there's a natural assumption, but we do eventually finally answer that question, but you got to listen to the pod.
And I've shown up to Mesa.
I was just going to say.
No, you got to listen to it to find out.
Okay.
But I will give you a clue. I have shown up in the middle of the night in very risque negligee and rang May's doorbell.
And I can only imagine what that looks like. Chef's kiss.
Thank you.
So you guys obviously have been friends for a very, very long time. And I think one of the benefits of having great friends is being able to learn new things from them, finding inspiration from them, just teaching. They're your teachers without them even knowing. Have you been able to teach one another something like a life skill or just a big takeaway throughout the 2 decades of knowing each other?
I will say for the first 15 years of those 2 decades, Sabrina was essentially raising me and so far advanced in life and kind of emotional maturity. And now finally in the past 5 years, I feel like I've become a grown up and have things to offer and teach. But yeah, for a long time, oh my God. Yeah. I was like such a sketchy teen and Sabrina was just like,
I was just doling out $20 bills being like, wow, this friend really loves sushi. May was secretly spending it on cocaine.
Oh my God.
Well, that's where the sketchy comes from, right?
Yeah.
But actually, I mean, always, I've felt inspired by May's voice and like commitment to their voice and commitment to being themselves, even when it was strange. Like, I remember meeting May being like, well, it's obviously a gay person, but I guess that's okay with me. You know, like,
yeah,
I've come a long way from my sort of like just daughter of immigrants growing up in North York thinking I was like a straight little good brown girl the way I was expected to be. And there was May who like bleached their hair and cut their own, gave themselves haircuts and like did stand up about whatever it was that they wanted to talk about. And I've always and continue to be inspired by May's mayness.
Thank you.
I call it mania.
Mania. That's going to catch on. I remember, I think it was in the first episode, you said that you've been seeing this Backstreet Boy evolution. And I was like,
yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. But now I got to say, if you look at just, it's not even like, now it's got to be James Dean because May has transcended Backstreet Boy sexiness.
Oh, thank you so much.
Huge.
I'm sure you'll return the favor at some point in the interview.
Now, I want to say that the average attention span, I don't know if you know this, is 8.25 seconds, which obviously is ridiculous. But given this, if you had to sum up benefits with friends in one tagline, because apparently you don't have any more attention span out there, what would it be? How would you sum it up?
We
real
thought
conversations,
of this.
Real pod? Yes. Okay, go. We're like 4 seconds in.
Fuck. We thought of this today. We thought of 2 P's in a podcast.
Yes.
I would say nice. getting deep, laughing and crying.
So all the emotions.
I would say, yeah, laugh till you cry, and then sometimes you just cry. We go places you wish you went with your friend, but make it sound less confrontational.
Yeah, you guys,
more
you go far.
With a hue of likability.
Sabrina's still, she's, you shouldn't have given her this 8.5 second challenge because now everything she says is going to be a tagline.
I'm okay with that. Those things are catchy. But I
you
mean,
think
like,
you know? You have no idea.
This is a diary.
Yes.
Yes. Of mania. But you guys go deep. You're talking about shame. You're talking about gender. You're talking about parenthood, sex, all of it. Was there a topic you were most excited to explore with one another that you've never actually discussed in real life as friends?
I think kink for me was fun because it's not like we haven't discussed kink as friends, but I think we both in the episode talk about this. I certainly had like a loaded idea of what, when you say kink to me, I like imagine like just like a couple at a bar that's like just trolling for someone to bring back to their dungeon and like clamp their nipples to electrocute them. And just like,
oh, wow.
Like
it,
I know. Yeah. Graphic. And like just a version of kink that was just like, even the word kink, it's like, it just, it's like hit you like a can on the head. but like D, you know, taking a little bit of the load off of it and talking about the things that turn us on. And Mae actually shared something in that episode of like a thing that they do with their partner that I plan on using with my, yeah, you shared, remember?
I can't remember, but tell me later or listen.
All right.
But I, well, also, I learned about a sexual role play that Sabrina does with her wife.
Oh,
that
wow.
I was not aware of this character. And so that was juicy. I think people will like that episode.
So needless
yeah,
to
just
say,
being like playful.
It brought you closer together, I'm assuming. This whole experience.
Yeah, we actually, I think we ended the didn't we end the episode with like a role play with each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. We did a friendship role play, but like that was like a fantasy. We asked each other to perform.
Yeah.
Okay, so if anyone ever asks, what is the secret to this marriage, successful marriage, that's it. That's it. You end it with role play.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's
were
it.
You yes. asking? No, it's role play, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now, just based on your previous work, it seems like relationships really does make your world go round. I mean, we saw it in Feel Good, and we hear a lot about your dating woes and experiences in your stand-up. And of course, your relationship with Signotaro and Fortune Themes during your other podcast, Ansem. You can see the camaraderie there and hear it. Do you have any advice for people out there who are looking to strengthen their relationships with friends as they get older? Because as we get older, it almost seems like it's harder to find the time for friends, or it's harder to just make space for things that are outside of our immediate zones. So is there any advice that you can offer as clearly a relationship guru?
I think definitely it's a balance of carving out space and investing time into those relationships, but then also having a huge amount of understanding for people's schedules. And as their lives change and evolve, that things aren't going to stay the same in the friendship either. And the more fluid and adaptable you can be, the stronger the friendship will be. And I think people really appreciate that. If you allow them to grow and you're just there to come back to, and, but yeah, you got to put the time in as well. And yeah. What else? I don't know.
Because the two of you live in different time zones for a while, right?
Well, we did, yeah. And now we finally both live in LA, but I think patience is like one key factor. And that's kind of what Mae was speaking to, where I think some people can attribute different seasons in a friendship where you're not as close in close contact as like a blame game or you sort of faulting the friend, and which just is manifesting more distance rather than just being patient and knowing that like the trees will bloom again, but it's not, you can't force the weather. What?
Mm. Whoa.
The trees will bloom again, but you can't force the weather?
I like that
sound
a lot.
Clip. Yeah. Sabrina, I want to mention Farming for Love quickly. This show has produced 197 marriages and 480 kids. So not
That's
to compare,
right.
not to compare.
430 of them are projects. My kids.
What do you hope comes out of benefits with friends and how many children?
Oh, well, I think we can do three times those numbers in the first season.
I think so, from what I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah. If people listen with the right ear, we could do 2,000 kids season one, hit 6,000 season two, and I won't be happy till we're at 10K. So
that's the bar high. I know I don't have too much time with you, so I want to throw out some rapid fire questions really quickly, if that's okay with you. to get your thoughts on some light topics. Okay, number one, I mean, I think I know Mania's answer to this, but good or bad idea to have sex with your friends?
Good, but
good.
Yeah.
But with their butt?
If they're not going to want you more than you want them.
Yeah, you just have to be mindful. Yeah, and communicate.
And vice versa. Like, if it feels like the same, like we're both, okay, we both know what we want from this. But the problem where I would kind of say bad is like, once, for some of us, when we ignite a sexual relationship with others, I'm going into a character that's like a Casanova.
This is rapid
I don't
want to
do it. I don't want to do it.
It's the opposite of rapid fire. Got it.
Yeah.
Best on-screen duo.
Ooh. Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph.
Love it.
Mm. The corset in Titanic and the lady who's pulling the corset.
Actually, I'm going to say
underrated.
I'm going to say Sarah Michelle Gellar and Eliza Dushku, Buffy and Faith.
Wow,
okay,
one.
Wait. I'm going to say Waiting for Guffman, Catherine O'Hara, and Eugene Levy.
Yes.
Most overused relationship advice.
Oh, never go to bed angry. Sometimes you got to go to bed.
Yeah, you got to go to bed and you got to go to bed angry.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to call it.
Yeah, I like that. I communicate is actually just a good piece of advice. I like never go to bed angry is overused.
Okay. Most underrated kind of date with a friend. Like a date night with a friend. That might seem basic, but underrated.
I think watching bad TV and like not leaving the house and just watching and commenting on it.
Yeah. Ooh. And if you like to put the bad TV on mute and then you both do the voices, well, now you're cooking with some gas.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And finally, greatest love song.
Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls.
Oh, that's really good.
That's the first thing that came to my mind.
Little Bit by Licky Lee.
Ooh.
With Drake, when Drake also comes in.
Mm.
My God, I did not go there ever, but that's a good one. I'll add that to my list. I will say though, anything by Goo Goo Dolls, my mind goes to Stripper. I don't know why, like a Stripper moment.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Like I don't want the world spin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It has that crescendo of a, anyway, that's another conversation.
Everything. Wow. This is interesting.
It's, we're learning about each other. These are the benefits. Yeah. And finally, you have obviously, seen the good and the bad of each other's evolution and journey and self-discovery. And a lot of the times on this podcast, we talk about identity and we talk about sticking in what you're doing, you know, keeping things going and not giving up. What kind of advice have you been able to offer one another to kind of keep the train going?
The part of why we're instantly so close and have remained friends is that neither of us have ever considered throwing in the towel with this job because we both love what we do so much. But in terms of life stuff and throwing in the towel, I think we're just listening to your friends is like the most helpful thing you can do and helping them feel less alone. Do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I called May a little while ago, my wife is pregnant and I was just having a moment of like, it's a little hormonal sometimes here, and having May not just like listen and agree with everything that I say, which is sort of what I called for, but like, you know, giving like seeing the whole view of it and contextualizing it and reminding me that like, this is a moment. There's nothing like that to check in with a friend and have them remind you of the physiology of all of it from their vantage point when you're feeling sort of caught up and you're looking down at this one piece of the puzzle that's not fitting.
Mm-hmm.
Is so valuable. But in terms of creatively, I'm always inspired by May and yeah, I love you.
Well, thank you.
I love you too. I love you too. And I love Bridget.
Thank you. I was saying it to Bridget, but May, I do love you.
Too good. I love you too. Benefits with Friends is now available to stream on Audible. Thank you so much for dropping by for another Homegirl discussion. We will see you next season.